Welcome to Trivial Retreat, the game in which we turn the tables on the original 1982 Genus edition of Trivial Pursuit. I am your host, Jason Snell. And before I explain what we're doing here, let me introduce my players for this fourth edition of Trivial Retreat. Their names have been inscribed on a gold record that's going to be shot into space as examples of the best humanity has to offer. First up, and these are in the order in which we'll play, Monty Ashley. Hi, Monty.
Hi, Jason. You said Genus Edition Trivial Pursuit, and I came running.
I know, you do. I think when I think of the Genus Edition, I think of you. And also, Erica Ensign, hello!
Hello. There's a reason that I usually host a Trivial Pursuit show and don't often appear on them. I expect to hold the Annette slash Kathy position and just hang
Erica,
out in the back.
It's okay. I'm going to give you the answers.
Yeah, I know. And I think I'm going to show how little I know about things by giving you questions.
People and places
don't make
and stuff like
sense.
That. All right. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But in my mind, Monty and Erica are both geniuses. Glenn Fleischman is next. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. I rolled an F.
Is how will you ruin it today? Thank you.
Okay.
It's good to have you here.
That's a strong open there, Glenn.
Also, Tony Sindelar. Hello, Tony.
Is this Dungeons and Dragons? How did I get here?
I don't know. You can't get here. You just
through
magically appear.
Door.
It's just it's one of my podcast powers I have is to make Tony appear on podcasts. And
hello.
Kelly Gamont.
My final answer is Beta Ray Bill.
Okay, good. Good. It's very good. Now, let me explain what this game is. I've got a box of cards from the original Genus Edition of Trivial Pursuit, and if you grew up in the 80s and played this game a lot, you may think you've memorized a bunch of the answers. Maybe you have, Monty Ashley, but have you memorized the questions? Maybe you have, Monty Ashley. I don't know. We'll see. In this first part of the game, I'm going to read a question from the back of a card, and my contestants will all need to guess what the actual question was. I will rank the results based on how close to the real question they get, and also how much the answers please me. As always, players are competing against our ghost player. This time, our ghost player is infamous early 20th century businessman Charles Ponzi. Let me give you an example. If I said that the category was geography and the answer was Brazil, you could answer, what's South America's largest country? You could say, what country contains the world's second longest river? Or, in which country did infamous early 20th century businessman and Trivial Retreat ghost player Charles Ponzi learn he was unable to cheat death? All valid questions. And don't forget the time element inside this cardboard box. It's still 1982. The USSR is the largest country in the world. Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, and East Germany are all still countries. And remember that when you're crafting your questions. All right, shall we get started?
When you said don't forget the time element, I thought we were in a Marvel movie suddenly.
It could be. Or the fifth element.
And you get 10 seconds to type.
Which is also time. Let's get started. We're going to do all six of the categories in this round where you're just trying to intuit what the question might be. And I'll rank you on who gets closest. We'll start with geography, the blue category.
Oh, no.
And the answer is The Rock. The Rock. Please send me your questions now.
What is our goal in this? Are we trying to be funny or accurate or what?
This is accurate. You're trying to intuit what the actual question is, and the closest will get more points. All the questions are in. Now we will go around, and I will ask each of you to tell me what your answer or what your question is. So I don't have to read them all. You read them. Let us begin with Monty. What did you have as a question for which the answer is The Rock?
What is the thing of Gibraltar?
Reed Richards? No, wait, right. That's not right.
Erica?
Not right at all.
I said, what is the colloquial nickname for Alcatraz prison?
All right. Glenn?
Far too long, but I said, what was the nickname of the desolate island where the famous Birdman of Alcatraz spent decades of his life?
It's a wordy. Glenn's cards are larger than everybody else's cards.
Is large.
Also, the print is really tiny.
Yeah. The print is so small.
Very small.
But it's hard to read.
That's why I have a magnifying glass.
Glenn's Trivial Pursuit comes with a monocle, like a magnifying monocle.
Oh, there we go.
Magnifying monocle.
Yeah. Tony?
What is the nickname for Alcatraz Prison, now a national park? I don't know why my question comes with a fun fact, but it does.
It does. It's just in there.
Yeah.
Kelly?
buckle up. What is the nickname for the location of Alcatraz?
All right. All of these are very similar.
What, except the Gibraltar
one, which unfortunately
unless there's something I don't know about
is
Alcatraz.
Going to get 1 point because the question was what it was the nickname of Alcatraz prison. Although it did
so
not
using
have
the word nickname is important.
Yes, we have four with nickname and Alcatraz. Tony's is the closest, so Tony's going to get six points.
Ooh. Not to criticize this, but. What made mine any closer than the others?
Literally, what is the nickname for Alcatraz Prison is literally what the question is. And then you added a fun fact on the end. Now a national park.
I added one word. I almost took it out because I was like, oh, Trivial Pursuit's not going to be that wordy. And I left it in.
Okay, you had a colloquial nickname for Alcatraz Prison. Erica, you also get 6 points.
Aren't all nicknames colloquial?
Which is exactly why I almost took it out.
Is going to get 4. Glenn is going to get 3. There. I like the thing of Gibraltar, so Monty's going to get 2, and Ponzi is only going to get 1 in this round. Mm-hmm. So take that.
And Jason, are you actually recording these scores, or do you just like listing numbers and then?
I am recording these scores in the patented Trivial Retreat spreadsheet, which is really just a hacked version of the low definition spreadsheet. Thanks
and
to Steve.
And you run the game and record the scores.
This is wild.
I do it both. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Are your points awarded? I guess against a theoretical pure answer, or is it like a taskmaster thing where we're just ranked?
Are ranked
vibes.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I had 2 6s, okay. So it went 6, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1 this time. And it's based on primarily how close you are to the original question, but secondarily how much it pleases me, just so I can be arbitrary if I choose. And the ghost point. The
technically,
ghost player
that was an answer to Monty's question, but maybe not a good one.
The next up is the entertainment category, or pink, if you prefer.
Oh, phew.
And here's the answer: George Lucas.
Mm.
George Lucas is the answer. Please send me your question. In 1982, in Canada, probably.
It's Lucas with an O in Canada.
All right. All the questions are in. Let's hear them now, starting with Erica. The answer is George Lucas. Erica, what was your question?
I said, who created the Star Wars movies?
All right.
Movies, plural, 1982.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, what did you say?
Who directed Star Wars?
All right. We are on the Star Wars. Tony, what did you say?
I don't care for Star Wars. I wrote, who directed American Graffiti?
Interesting. Kelly, what did you choose?
I also am team American Graffiti. I didn't know if Star Wars would have been a big enough deal at that point to have made it in when they sent the cards off to print.
It was a pretty big deal in 1977.
I know it was, okay. But I also know that when you have to print stuff to paper, it takes time. So I was hedging my bets.
So what did you say?
What was your question?
I said, who is the director of American Graffiti?
Monty?
I also said, who was the director of American Graffiti?
Yes, so we have a lot of American Graffitis and some Star Warses. Well, some of you will be happy to know the question in the Genius Edition was, who wrote and directed American Graffiti?
Ooh.
Oh.
So,
see, I basically figured it was a harder question.
It's not. No, nobody got the writing right, but I'm going to still give 6 full points to Tony, Kelly, and Monty. Erica and Glenn, I'm going to give you each 3, and Ponzi's going to get 1. Because, I mean, you weren't wrong. He did do Star Wars, but he also did American
Technically
Graffiti.
Correct.
Technically correct, the best kind. All right, moving on to the yellow category. This is history. And I need you to send me a question for the answer. General Douglas MacArthur. General Douglas MacArthur. Send me your questions now. A little history. It's a history category.
I hate category.
That's why Erica runs yellow lights. She doesn't believe in them.
I do.
Do they have yellow lights in Canada?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. I thought everything up there was red, green.
All right. All of the questions are in. To General Douglas MacArthur, Glenn, what did you say?
Which World War II military officer said, I shall return?
All right, Tony, what about you?
I also went the quote direction. I said, who said old soldiers don't die, they just fade away? I know I didn't get the quote quite right, but it's something like that.
All right, Kelly, what about you?
Who was named the first commander of the Allied forces?
Ooh.
It's something like that. I don't think I got the title right.
Okay, Monty.
Who said, I shall return?
And Erica.
My only U.S. history class ended before World War One.
Wow.
So I literally never learned about this. So my question is, who was the son of Mr. and Mrs. MacArthur?
Oh, so they were preparing you to be Canadian all this time.
Yeah.
Well, the actual Trivial Pursuit question was who challenged Truman's conduct of the Korean War and was fired for it?
Wow, that's good too.
That's right. He was fired.
Yeah, so here we go. Monty and Glenn are going to get max points because when he was fired, that's why he said, I shall return.
Mm. All right.
I don't think that's right. I thought the I shall return was about his campaign in the Philippines.
What? Wait, yeah. Wait a second.
Was it?
It was about, he was in the Philippines when he said it. I know that for sure.
Was it at the end of? I thought it was at.
Oh,
actually,
you're right. It was at the end of
World War II.
And he did, and then he got fired later. Well, you're right. Okay, well then nobody gets any points, and this round is over.
I didn't mean. You're right. The one factoid I know.
I only know about
him.
MacArthur from MASH, from episodes of MASH.
He's in MASH. Wow, who plays him?
Himself.
Oh, what?
None of this is true.
Okay.
Well, let's go from the bottom.
I'm learning things.
Let's go from the bottom. Erica's going to get 1 point.
I was like, this should be easy to score.
Ponzi's going to get 2. Kelly is going to get...
What is Ponzi? What is that you're saying?
Ponzi. It's the Ponzi scheme inventor. He's our ghost player. He's dead. So he's the ghost player. He's a ghost. He's here. He's playing. He gets points.
When does he get more than... very small numbers of points.
if your answers seem really bad, I'll give the ghost
him.
More points. So Kelly gets
if
one.
If we all displease him, Ponzi gets max
and
points
gets
in order to make all of us an example.
I feel like he's not carrying his weight. Really
also,
right
he gets
now.
the dasher score for low death, okay. Right? So if nobody guesses, he gets the full points there. It's a ghost. Ghosts gotta eat. Got it. Do they? Ooh. Actually, they don't.
That's not,
I am unconvinced.
No. You're thinking of Pac-Man.
Okay, sorry. Well then I'm gonna go Tony gets
Slimer eats.
4, Monty gets 5,
but
and
that's
Glenn's,
like his whole personality.
Doesn't
that's
it
what
fall
makes
out of
him unique.
He, doesn't it fall
yeah,
out
it falls right out.
Yeah.
Tony gets 4, Monty gets 5, Glenn gets 6 because Glenn actually mentioned World War II.
Oh,
so
I don't understand why anyone got any.
My wordiness plays
again,
off.
You just have to be close. You don't have to be right. You just have to who gets closer. And I draw the line, I choose not to be mean and give Ponzi all the points there.
I don't understand why somebody would choose not to be mean.
All righty. Well, the next time I'll be into you, Tony, and then we'll see how that goes.
All right. You know what? I understand that. I don't have to like it. I understand.
It's time for number 4. This is Arts and Literature, the Brown category, the Browns. Mm-hmm. And the answer to this one is Ian. Yep, that's it. Ian. I-A-N.
Spelled how?
Ian.
Spelled? Okay.
Ian.
Wait, what?
That's it. Arts and Literature. Ian.
Spell
Ian is
how?
The answer. You supply
I-A-N?
The question.
I-A-N. Wow.
Capital I, right. Lowercase A-N, one word, Ian. Like the name Ian, that's...
I appreciate...
Ian is the answer. But what is the question? It's a great game.
Everybody enjoys it. Can I get a score check while...
Oh, yeah, that's great, Monty. Great idea. Let's check in on the scores while everybody's answering. That's a fun time to do it. Tony's in first place because I'm not mean enough to him with 16. Monty and Kelly tied for second with 13. Glenn has 12. Erica has 10. And Ponzi, who devoted listeners might remember in the last episode beat out one of our players, David, is in last with 4 points. So plenty of space so far between the ghost of Mr. Ponzi and the rest of you. All right, all the answers are in for Ian. Tony, what was your question?
Mine's not very good. What is Ian McKellen's real first name? Real is in italics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only Ian I could think of.
1982?
Yeah.
He was alive.
He was alive.
He was alive. It's just a guy. This boy. Sir, what is this boy's name? It is Ian. Kelly?
He's like 45 then.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he's... All right.
My question was, what is the first name of the author of the James Bond series of novels?
All right. Monty, what about you?
Very similar. What was the first name of the author of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Mm.
It's the same guy.
Yeah. As you'll know from Erica's question, which was?
Which was, what was the first name of the author of the James Bond novels and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
But just the first name.
And Glenn, what did you have?
Oh, no.
I was about to send and then did not. How might you mishear the first initials of the writer E.M. Forster's name? But then inspiration hit. What's the first name of James Bond writer Fleming?
Very nice. Very nice. Well, the actual question is, what's the Scottish equivalent of John? As you would know from arts and literature.
Wow.
That's art.
Names are apparently arts and literature now.
That's a little weird. I don't know.
Right. We are all way too heavy on the category in that.
That was, it was not really much of a clue, that's but that's just how it goes sometimes.
That's good.
So Charles Ponzi gets 6 in that round. I'm going to give 5 to Erica for the volume of including James Bond and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Thank you.
I am going to go then next 4 to Monty for naming Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which I think is esoteric, more esoteric than James Bond. 3 points each to Glenn and Kelly for James Bond. And 1 point to Tony, not because I'm mean, but because he gave a dumb question. So there you go.
Fair.
Oh, I was mean. Oh, no.
Oh, I've been Nick
Muhammad. You did both.
I was kind of deserving, though. So all right. Anyway, here we go. On to the next one. It's science and nature. Are we ready for science and nature? Oh, boy.
Let's go.
Some science and or nature. Here it is. Your answer. Vertical takeoff and landing. Vertical takeoff and landing. Please send me your question.
This is which category again?
Science and nature.
Science, but also nature. Okay.
Sometimes people ask me, is it a trick question? And what I tell them is, yes, it's always a trick question.
No, it's a trick answer.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Good point.
Good point. Do I get a point?
We had this in the last one, too, where everybody thought that it was a trick, and it wasn't a trick. And then they knew that it wasn't a trick, and then it was a trick. So, all right, all the answers are in for vertical takeoff and landing. Kelly, what was your answer?
Wrong. What is a unique feature of the Harrier fighter jet? Probably didn't exist in 1982, but I'm sure hoping.
British, and it would have been a British, it was a British jet too, so that makes sense with the whole Canadian questions. Monty, what did you say?
What does VTOL stand for?
Erica, what did you say?
What does VTOL stand for?
Glenn, what did you say?
Oh, mine is totally different. Totally, totally off base. What do the initials VTOL stand for?
And ooh, Tony, what did you ask?
What does the aeronautics acronym VTOL stand for?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Initialism.
Yeah.
So,
Monty correctly sussed that the real question here is it a question about the Harrier or is it a question about the acronym itself?
Because initialism.
Thank you, Erica.
It's an abbreviation.
It's an abbreviation.
High five,
because,
Monty.
Of course, what is more exciting? A jet that takes off just like from the ground, not moving, or jargon? And Trivial Pursuit will tell you it's totally the jargon because the actual question was, what does VTOL stand for? That was it.
Nice.
That's all it is. So Monty, Erica, Glenn, and Tony, y'all get 6 points.
Woo.
Ponzi gets 1. Kelly gets, or Ponzi gets 2. Kelly gets 1. Sorry, Kelly.
I guess it is an acronym if you pronounce it VTOL.
Yeah, which you do.
VTOL.
If you say VTOL. But is it supposed to be a word, though, not just pronounceable?
It's very, very tall is what it is.
People say VTOL.
If it's pronounceable, it's a word. Like radar isn't a word until you pronounce R-A-D-A-R.
That just blew my mind, man. That was great. That was really good.
And now, hooray.
I resigned my side.
We've reached the end. It's sports and leisure.
Oh, hello.
Or as I explained to Anthony Johnston in our last episode, sports and leisure. Sport and leisure?
Sport
and leisure would have been even better. He was thinking of a double take. Did you pronounce leisure properly? I'm like, I was translating for you, Anthony. Anyway, Anthony's not here this time, which is why you can enjoy this answer to sport and leisure. Joe DiMaggio. That's your answer. Joe DiMaggio. Of course. Joe DiMaggio.
I remember this one.
Oh, God.
Great.
That's why you're in the intro. Literally every time I say it in the intro, I think, this is about Monty. Monty knows these. All right, all the answers are in, or all the questions, rather, of course, because we do this backward. It's like Jeopardy, except much worse. To Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio in sports and leisure, legendary baseballer. So let's try this. Monty. What was your question for Joe DiMaggio?
My question was, who sold Mr. Coffee? Although, I think I remember this question, and that's not exactly the wording. It might be who shilled for Mr. Coffee or something like that, but I'm pretty sure it's the Mr. Coffee
that's
question.
So wow. Good.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Erica, what did you ask?
I mean, given what Monty's question was, I feel like mine is not necessarily from a totally different category because coffee. What baseballer is mentioned in the lyrics of Simon and Garfunkel's song, Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, would be both sport and leisure.
Not incorrect. Not incorrect. All right. Glenn.
I was this close, holds fingers 1 inch apart, from putting the answer in. Who was the spokesperson for Chock Full of Nuts? And I knew it wasn't Chock Full of Nuts. So instead I said, who is Marilyn Monroe's second husband?
Yeah.
Second?
I think he was her second husband.
I knew she was married at least once before.
Tony.
I wrote, what baseballer star dated Marilyn Monroe?
Mm. I mean,
there's like two things wrong in that question, but yes.
Well, they did date.
They did date.
Mm-hmm. And after,
correct.
I believe.
Yeah. And Kelly, yeah. What did you have?
What is the Scottish equivalent of John? No, I'm kidding.
so close.
My question was, because I think the reason I know this thing about Joe DiMaggio is because I remember it from having played Trivial Pursuit as a child. Which World Series winning baseball player had two brothers who also played professional baseball?
Oh
wow.
Vince and Dom. I think there may be other people who would be correct for that. That's, but I really do like the trivial aspect of it.
Yeah, by now there certainly are.
Yeah.
Like Alomar's all,
yeah,
over the place.
Alouz maybe. Anyway, the actual question was, who was known as the Yankee Clipper?
Oh.
Just a nickname.
Holy curse God. You.
Just a nickname.
I had forgotten that one. Yeah.
I don't even know how to allot points here.
A lot of points. Give us a lot of points.
Ponzi's getting 6. Wow. Kelly's getting 5 because I like the brother thing. I think Erica was showing lateral thinking, so she's going to get 4. Mr. Coffee from Monty will get 3, and Glenn and Tony will each get 2, I'm going to say, for Marilyn.
Accept that.
2. The number
it actually
of marriages
was Mr.
she
Coffee,
had at that point.
Right?
So we believe.
I mean, there's probably, like, I'm certain that Monty is correct, that there is another question in that same category about him being the coffee.
But that
dude.
Was the Yankee Clipper.
They cast him as Mr. Coffee. Cast him. They hired him as Mr. Coffee because Joe was already a nickname for Coffee then. Yeah. It had to be,
wasn't
right?
he okay. like, didn't he have another nickname that was like about him being like
Jolton Joe?
Yeah. Jolton
Which is another coffee
is
thing.
Was that pre-coffee endorsement or is that, because that sounds like a
That
a
was
pre-coffee
endorsement. And Mr. Okay. Coffee was not coffee. It was a coffee maker.
Oh, he was also the Shea Stadium percolator.
Maker. Shea Stadium, home of the Mets, not the Yankees.
Oh, sorry.
But you got New York right, Glenn. Wow.
The Manhattan
close.
Polo Grounds.
Right. As we move on to our next...
That's the Giants.
As we move on to our next round, let's check in on the scores. Monty in the lead with 26. Erica right behind at 25, as is Tony with 25. Oh, Glenn 23, Kelly 22, And Mr. Ponzi, he's got a great multi-level marketing thing that he would like to talk to you about, and 18 points.
Mm. That Anyone's brings, game.
That brings us to our Get Me Rewrite round. The goal Ooh. Here is to make us laugh with a funny question to the answer I give you. Everybody will vote on their favorites. The people who wrote those answers will be given points by the panelists, as well as me. You can't vote for yourself, Glenn. and let's Glenn start roll. With a question from geography. You give me the question. The answer is Glasgow. Shout out to James Thompson.
Well, now I can't use that as my question.
You can if you want.
I mean, shout out to James Thompson, not a question. Please send me your answers, your questions now, in the form of a question, and not an answer. Ooh, the scores
funny ones.
Are so
just
close.
Funny.
Try to be funny. You're just trying to make other people say that answer. That question pleases me, and I bestow 3 points upon them. That's basically what pleases. We're looking for.
Are we voting quietly
yes,
or
make
aloud?
Them funny. You just, I'll read them all with nobody's names attached and randomized, and we'll see what.
But we'll vote
and then
via
you just,
DM
and then
or
you
via,
bestow votes. Yeah.
Via DM or through enunciation.
No, out on the you'll declare your favorite on the podcast.
Eligo, I will say, and then the Pope will be elected. Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right.
You could do that. All right, all of the hopefully amusing fake questions are in. I'm going to read them now. Dear panelists, try to think how you would like to bestow your 3 points on one of these answers. Choose your favorite from this group. What does a Scottish chef say when he's ready for a drink to be delivered to the table? In what city will the World Science Fiction Society's Worldcon take place in exactly 42 years? What city does Prestwick Airport serve? What Scottish city does not rhyme with brass cow? Iceland is in the North Atlantic. Reykjavik is its capital. What is the largest city in Scotland? And what Scottish city is known for its smile? Those are your fake questions. Now, I thought I would ask the panelists, which ones did you like the best? Tony, what's your choice?
I'm voting for the Reykjavik one because I appreciate a question that comes with some fun facts.
Yeah, it's always good to add the fun facts. Kelly,
questions can be educational.
What about you, Kelly?
I'm liking the Worldcon one for the in exactly 42 years. That's a good. Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Glenn?
I laughed involuntarily aloud at Worldcon, so I'm going with Worldcon.
Already Worldcon for that. Erica, what about you?
I'm going to go with the chef one.
Scottish chef. Yep. All right. And Monty, where will you bestow your points?
I liked what Scottish city is known for its smile.
It's known for its smile. All right. And I'm going to vote for... I'm also going to vote for Worldcon. So let's see here. Erica liked Monty's joke about the Scottish chef. He gets 3 points.
Nice work.
Glass, go.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's right.
I liked it.
It was good. It was good.
Kelly, Glenn, and I all liked Erica's thing about Worldcon. So plenty
of
points for Erica.
I would also like to point out that I too was going to put something about James Thompson in mine, and then you said his name, but I still managed to put a nod to James Thompson in with 42.
I knew it was yours, and I still voted for it. That's how much I liked it.
Same.
Tony voted for Kelly's very fun, full of facts thing about Iceland, Reykjavik, and also Scotland.
Shamelessly lifted from Craig Ferguson, I might add,
and
who used to do a question for the bag of loot at the end of an interview with some people, and that was how the question always started. Iceland's in the North Atlantic, Reykjavik is its capital, and then he would ask some completely unrelated question.
And Tony got a vote from Monty for... A city known for its smile, Glasgow. 3 points for Tony. So good job, everybody. I think you got the spirit of this. Oh, by the way, the real question was indeed, what city does Prestwick Airport serve? What an exciting question, Trivial Pursuit. Know your Scottish airports. Let's move on to science.
I was wondering who thought that was a funny
thing. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. I'm glad there were no points for that.
In the last one we did, there were some funny questions that were not as funny as the actual question. All right, let's move on to science and nature. Please send me a funny question. For the answer, peahens. That's right. Peahens. P-E-A-H-E-N-S. Peahens. Send them to me now. I like this round because everybody gets to give a thumbs up to somebody's contribution. It's nice. All right. Let me read these fake questions for the answer peahens. They are the as follows. Get prepared to bestow 3 points upon the author of any of these. What are the Jolly Green Giants mascots called? Which hens come after O-hens and go nicely with carrot hens? What bird discovered by George Washington Carver survives entirely on a diet of peanuts? What will you inevitably do if you drink a lot of chicken? That's like a match game answer. I love it. What type of fowl is larger than a Lochinvelder but smaller than an emu? And of course, what do peacocks mate with?
Oh, Ponzi.
All right, let's start with Glenn. Glenn, what's your favorite here?
Drink a lot of chicken.
Yeah. All right, Kelly, what about you?
Drink a lot of chicken was funny. I guess I have to go with that because it knocked the other ones out of my head. I can't even remember what the other ones were that you said.
Tony?
I'm going to go with Lochinvelder and Emu.
All right. Very nice. Thank you for acknowledging the references. Monty?
That's what I do.
The Jolly Green Giants mascots.
All right. And Erica?
Boy, these were all really good. I just want to say congratulations to everybody across the board. Nice. This is hard. But I laughed the hardest at the drinking chicken one, so I'm going with that.
I can't stop laughing at that one. It's great.
All right. Well, congratulations to Monty, who cleans up with 9 points in that round.
Yay, Monty.
If you drink
what
a lot of chicken.
Pick, Jason?
Peahens.
Jason, did
oh,
you
yeah,
pick
Jason,
one?
Oh, yeah, Jason, what did you pick?
I guess I need to, I laughed out loud to Monty's, so I should probably pick Monty's. Okay, I picked Monty's. Yep. Erica was picked by Tony for the Lochinvelder references. So that's good. And
yay!
Monty bestowed 3 points upon Glenn for the Jolly Green Giants
High
mascots.
Praise. Thank you.
Okay, one more of this.
O-hens, huh?
One more of this nonsense.
It was good.
It's
though.
In
O-hens
sports and leisure. And the answer, a friend of the podcast, especially for those here, several of whom are here, who riffed boy with a knife.
Oh, no.
The answer is Chuck Connors. Chuck Connors, please send me your questions. They always talk about the Rifleman. I'm like, but boy with a knife, his classic hygiene film. Just waiting for one from Monty. It's going to be
thinking.
Gold. Yeah.
It's
oh, no.
not going to be gold. Oh. I'm telling you that right now. I've got a very bad answer queued up.
Waiting for a bad answer from Monty.
I'm trying to
improve it.
No.
Replace this it. Can't,
this answer cannot be improved.
Expectations managed.
Cannot wait. This is great.
Okay, Monty.
Honestly, Monty, you could just go with what happens if you drink a lot of chickens again, and you probably would win. I mean,
nice.
Classic good callback. Points. All right. Here they are.
Which, can I change my answer?
Here they are. Chuck Connors was the answer, but what is the question? You can choose from these. What non-carotene actor is referred to often by members of the Incomparable Podcast Network? What did Skynet tell the Terminators to do?
Oh...
Who famously shouted, Soylent Green is people? Please vote for this answer, ... question mark. Who never did anything of note? And what Dodgers and Cubs first baseman dropped baseball to take up acting? Let's start with Erica. Which one do you want to give some points to?
Skynet.
Glenn, what about you?
I have to take the pandering and go for please vote.
Please vote. Kelly?
I'm going the incomparable network mention one.
All right, Monty?
Skynet.
Skynet. Tony?
I'm going to go Soylent Green.
Soylent Green. Very nice. And I am going to vote for Skynet. I'm going to vote for Skynet. Not even
Dang
reluctantly.
It.
I don't mind. So Kelly gave 1 point to the non-Carradine actor from Erica.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Tony gave 3 points to Kelly for Soylent Green. Glenn gave 3 points for the pandering please vote for this answer from Monty.
There you go.
And Erica, Monty, and I all gave points to Glenn. I know. That's why it was anonymous. Why did the, what did the Skynet tell the Terminators to do? Chuck?
It's like a Connor. Bazooka
I wanted to
Joe.
Do something like that, but I couldn't think of any famous Connors. I was like, there's a Connor on Arrow. There's a Connor Oberst out there in pop culture somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I thought you might forgive
He's
me.
He's
done the
a
plural.
Bar in Omaha.
Because yep. there are two Connors. I figure you're chucking both Connors.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
All right, good.
We got
it. Accurate. Checks out.
Good job.
Yep,
good job.
Stands up.
Good job. All right, let's check in on the scores as we move on to our next round. Monty in the lead still, 44. Mm-hmm. Erica in second with 40. Glenn has 35. Tony, 28. Kelly, also 28. Very close game. And Ponzi all the way back at 18.
Oh, good.
Where he
at
belongs.
At least the ghost won't beat me.
He's way in the back this time. He can't win it. He can't, like, not finish last every time. That's a bit much. All right, now it's time for what category is this? Very simple. I am going to give you a question, and you need to guess which category this question is a part of from the standard list, geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, and sports and leisure. If you get it right, you get 5 points. If you get it wrong, you get no points. All right, so here's your first question. Tell me the category that this is in. Where was King Arthur's court? Send me your categories now. Sometimes I do this and I think everybody's going to get it right. The last time we did this, I did one where nobody got it right. So... Ooh.
It's tricky.
It is. And aided by the fact that in many cases, the questions are, or the categories are bad. All right. So where was King Arthur's court? This could definitely be in some different categories, and it's good that all of you thought so too. So Monty and Kelly said, well, where? It's geography. Erica and Tony said, well, this is Arthurian legend, so it's probably arts and literature. And Glenn said, King Arthur.
Science.
From the oldie times is history.
Oh.
Well,
surprisingly, no sports and legend.
History was my second choice.
I did not know that Glenn was a King Arthur truther, but apparently he is. The answer, Excalibur. By the way, Camelot. Camelot is the answer. And the category was arts and literature. Erica and Tony, congratulations. You got it. The others, yes. I'm sorry. It's Trivial Pursuit.
It could have been entertainment as well.
It could have been.
Yeah. A lot.
It could have been. All right, let's move on. Here's another one. You can guess the category for this one. The question is, who did Peeping Tom peep at?
I have several questions about that question.
Your question's about the question. This whole court is out of order. Okay. Who did Peeping Tom peep at? Monty correctly mentioned in his response, Lady Godiva is the answer. Famously.
I knew that.
Lady Godiva. The question is, what was the category? Because, again, you have a character out of history and legend. And in the case of Kelly, science and or nature, because what's more natural than Peeping Tom?
Steve.
I guess. So Erica, Monty, and Glenn all said history. Kelly said science and nature. Tony said arts and literature. Again, arts and literature is the answer. 5 points for Tony Sindelar.
So close.
Damn it. Double bluff.
So close, you picked one of the Trivial Pursuit categories. It just wasn't the right one.
No, I just mean that was my second choice. I was like, history or arts and lit.
I know. It's hard. Chuck Connors. Anyway, here, one more. You need to give me the answer to this one. What Russian physiologist went to the dogs to write Conditioned Reflexes? That's a title, Conditioned Reflexes. What Russian physiologist went to the dogs to write Conditioned Reflexes? I get your joke, Glenn. I got it.
Thank you. I'm sure.
Got it exactly right.
Can I get a point if I can guess what Glenn's joke was?
Yeah.
Give the point. All right, Monty, you think you know what Glenn's joke was that I acknowledged. What did you think Glenn's joke was?
I think he said, "This rings a bell."
That's not it. He was making a Jeopardy reference, which is that there are certain questions that there's an automatic answer to, and they're called Pavlov's.
Right.
Pavlov!
Just like Ivan Pavlov, who conditioned, went to the dogs, but it's about dogs, and they ring the bell, and the dogs salivate, and there's a whole, like, it's more complicated than that, but anyway.
It's just like when they start, this Finnish architect, bah,
it is a book about science and nature that happened in the past. So it makes sense that Kelly thought it was history. It makes sense that Erica thought it was arts and literature. But Monty, Glenn, and Tony are correct. It's science and nature.
All questions about things that happened in the past.
I thought you were going to say sports and leisure.
You know,
I don't know. Erica has that one edition of Trivial Pursuit Future Edition, but she's not allowed to use it on the podcast.
That, you know,
or
man
the government
is mortal,
goes after
and therefore
you.
It cannot be the glass in front of me. It's just logic. Monty's just logic
for
the heck out of this
my
thing.
Life.
All right, we're going to go into our final round, but before we do, I want to give you an update on the scores. Monty still in the lead, hanging on, 49 points. Erica, right behind him, 45 points. Tony, ready to steal it all, 43 points. Glenn, probably right not. Behind him at 40 points.
Whoa.
Kelly is 28. It's great. She's ahead of Ponzi, who has 18. Things are it's fine. It's fine. How are you? We'll move on to our final segment. These are the fake out rounds. Everyone needs to submit a question that seems like
you fake out.
No, you fake
thank
out.
Thank you. Plausibly, that's a different podcast. Like a 1982 Trivial Pursuit question. So remember, you're trying to fool, this is like Low Definition or Balderdash, two other games that are not this one, fool your compatriots, because you're going to be given a list of a bunch of questions and try to pick the right one, the one that was actually on the card. For every person who your question fools, you will get 3 points, and if you guess the real question, you'll get 5 points. Our first of three in this category is going to be from history. The answer is Paul Revere. Paul Revere, please write a plausible question. All right. All of the fake questions are in. Your job, everybody, is to find the real one. Here they are. I'm going to read them. The answer is Paul Revere, of course. Number one. What is the name of the horseman responsible for a midnight ride in 1775?
Horseman. Paul Revere.
Two, what Revolutionary War hero originally made his living as a silversmith?
Mm.
Three,
Paul Revere.
What tinsmith warned people the British are coming?
Who is Paul Revere?
Four, what Bostonian silversmith went on a famous midnight ride? Five, who made George Washington's false teeth? And six, who watched for the signal? One if by land, two if by sea. Those are your choices. Monty, what do you think?
I think it's who watched for the signal, one if by land, two if by sea.
All right. Erica, what do you think?
I think it's the one that says silversmith and midnight ride.
Which, what Bostonian silversmith went on a famous midnight ride?
Yeah, that one.
All right. Yeah, they're all a little bit different. Glenn.
What is the name of the horseman, I think?
What is the name of the horseman responsible for a midnight ride in 1775?
That one, yes, please.
All right. Tony.
I'm going to go for the, I believe it's the second one, the Revolutionary War hero.
Originally made his living as a silversmith?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some people are interested in the metal. Some people are interested in the catchphrases. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Kelly,
and
what about you?
Loves a good horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bostonian silversmith is the phrase that pays.
Bostonian silversmith. All right. Let's see how that went. So Glenn thought it was the horseman responsible for a midnight ride. That was Kelly's answer.
Nice.
We prefer the term centaur now.
Yeah. Tony thought it was Revolutionary War hero originally made his living as a silversmith. That was Erica's answer.
Ah,
nice. Mm-hmm.
Monty thought it was one if by land, two if by sea. That was Glenn's answer.
I don't think he actually watched for it. I think it was just his job to spread the news.
Well, also he wasn't the main horseman. So like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Exactly. Trivial pursuit. What are we even talking about?
What is the controversy?
There's a question if it actually happened too, I believe. Yeah. But that's,
wow.
That's
this whole
wow.
game is out of order.
This is all rigged.
Erica and Kelly felt pretty good about what Bostonian silversmith went on a famous midnight ride. That is a very Trivial Pursuit question written by Tony Sindelar.
Ooh.
And that means
disgusting.
You've what all been schemed.
We've all been Ponzi.
Oh my God.
Ponzi gets 5 points
What's
for
the right answer?
Who made George Washington's false teeth?
Really? I came so close to saying that because that's the Mohs way of playing low definition. You pick the one that's different from everything else. And yep. I should have just
stuck
with
it. Did he make them out of hippopotamus teeth?
I thought they were made out of wood and he made
multiple.
The story is that they were wooden and the story is a lie, just like everything else about George Washington.
It is. So we will move on.
Oh, so it's a lie, but that was the answer.
Because it's Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah,
because it was
just 1982. What's on the card, man. It's what's on the card. That's what we go with. We're going into arts and literature now.
Oh, what? We're not done?
The brown category. No, we got two more of these. The brown category. The answer is the left. The left. Please send me your plausible question with the answer, the left. I'll just say,
wait, this is
not capitalized.
It's arts and literature. It's not science.
Arts and literature. The left.
Jeez.
The left. All right. We have all of our fake questions for the arts and literature answer, the left. And here they are. I'll read them to you now. One, which Parisian riverbank was home to many counterculture writers and poets? Two, what side of the bed, does superstition say, is the wrong side? Three, in England, which side of the road do drivers take? Four, in bookbinding, is the verso the page on the right or the left? Five, the word sinister sometimes refers to which direction? And six, which of his ears did Vincent van Gogh cut off? Whoa, those are some great plausible
really
questions.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, I just appreciate that we didn't all converge. Good job, everybody.
Well,
none
that's
of these
really
things are at all like the other.
Erica, you get to guess first.
I'm going to go with the sinister.
Always go with the sinister, I say.
Yeah, please, Mr.
Show
sinister.
Title.
Glenn.
Could you read the side of the bed question or
which,
answer?
Which
again?
Side
question.
Of the bed does superstition say is the wrong side?
I like that one.
Okay. You're getting up on the wrong side of the bed again, Glenn.
Uh-oh.
Tony.
I'm going to go for sinister also.
On the sinister train. Kelly.
I feel obligated to go with the one that said verso in it.
Verso, yeah, I know.
Oh,
I was afraid you put it there.
I just assumed you had written that.
Oh, I blew people's minds. It wasn't Kelly's. Oh!
I didn't write that one.
Wow.
Monty, what do you vote for?
Did Erica and Tony have the same answer?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, because I think I'm first and they're second and third, I'm also going to say that one,
oh,
which is the sinister one.
Smart.
Well, it happens.
Game show pro.
And then we got Erica. So that's it. All the answers are in. This is really exciting. Oh boy.
You sound excited.
Let's find out.
Oh, very excited.
Holy cow.
Let's find out the truth. Kelly said in bookbinding is the verso, the page on the right or the left, because Kelly is at verso in all sorts of places. That was Monty's answer.
Nice. Mm.
The other side is recto, and recto. I happened to find it in a dictionary in the 90s and went, that's a really good word, and I'm a left-handed person, so I filed it away, and that's where it came from.
Erica, Tony, and Monty, in an act of gamesmanship, all went on the sinister question. The word sinister sometimes refers to which direction.
In all future versions of the game, we will scan your brain and only choose the option that you believe, not the one that gets you the most points.
Yeah, I mean, it's the human element. And that bestowed 9 big points on Kelly Gamont.
Wow.
Hey, nice.
And Glenn thought it was, which side of the bed does superstition say is the wrong side? Yeah. And that was the correct question.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was going to say that and I chickened out.
I have a vague recollection because I'm a lefty, so I remember questions that are
but
nasty
about left
stuff.
But is
that
the left as you're looking at the bed or when you're lying in the bed?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Stage left, Erica.
Stage. I don't know
which one that is.
Wait, I don't know.
So when you're in the bed, are you facing up or down? Because that changes what's on the left side.
What if you sleep face down in your pillow?
Yeah, what if you sleep under the bed? Then
you
who
get
wins?
Up on the wrong side of the bed.
Oh boy.
Because the right side is obviously the right side.
That's the right side.
Yeah, you get it. Fair.
All right, one last one and then we're done. It is from Sports and Leisure, everybody's favorite category.
Mm. Can we get a score check right
before
the last question?
Question? Sure, Monty, let's do it. Monty's in the lead with 52.
He just can't hear that enough.
Tony,
that's all I wanted.
In second at 49, very close behind.
Ooh. I don't know how that happened.
Erica has 48. Glenn with 43. Kelly with 40.
So really, anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
Feasible things are,
but
feasible.
Probably not Ponzi.
Probably not Ponzi. Ponzi's way back there. All right, here it is. Okay. Sports and Leisure. Okay. Your answer is Wimbledon.
Mm.
Wimbledon. Please give me a plausible question for Wimbledon.
The Wimbledon lover.
Well, you know what? I feel like at this point there's no way I'm going to win, and I'm okay with that because Sports and Leisure sucks.
You're so close.
Yeah, but
yeah, and the points can really change here. If you get some people on your answer, you could win it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
All right. All of the fake questions are in for Wimbledon in Sports and Leisure. It's our last one, so anything could happen. Here we go.
Ooh.
Well, you pay attention. Here they are. 1. What tennis tournament is played at the All England Club?
Ooh.
2.
All England.
What tennis tournament is considered the most prestigious in the world? 3. What is the world's largest tennis tournament? 4. In 1982. 4. Where is the All England Lawn Tennis Championship held? 5. What town do the Wimbledon Tennis Championships take place in? And 6. What is the best known tennis tournament in the world? Those are your choices. Monty, what do you think it is?
Really hope there would be one that was not tennis related.
That would be
very strange. Very strange.
Could I hear the first answer again?
What tennis tournament is played at the All England Club?
That one.
All right. Tony.
I'm going to go with most prestigious. That feels like a Trivial Pursuit. It kind of works.
Most
prestigious.
Prestigious. Erica.
Wasn't there one that said All England and Lawn?
Where is the All England Lawn Tennis Championship held?
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
All right, Glenn.
I also like the ridiculous specificity of All England Lawn Tennis. Tennis.
Lawn Tennis.
I will pick that one. Lawn Tennis.
Lawn
please.
Testament. Kelly.
All England Lawn Tennis.
I, too, like Lawn Testament, so I'm going with that one.
All right. The die is cast.
Yaksha.
Wait, I was supposed to bring dice?
All I have is dice by PCalc.
I got a 3.
I mean, who are we kidding? I have dice. They're right here.
All right. That is going to change the scores in interesting ways.
Oh, no.
Here
we
go.
I get points for having dice by Pico?
Monty said, what tennis tournament is played at the All England Club? That was Kelly's answer.
Ooh.
Tony said, what tennis tournament is considered the most prestigious in the world? That was Erica's answer.
Ooh. Wow.
But Erica, Glenn, and Kelly all said it was, where is the All England Lawn Tennis Championship held? And that was the fake question of our winner, Monty Ashley. And congratulations so to Mr. Ponzi, because yes, friends, the trivia question was, what town do the Wimbledon Tennis Championships take place in?
I should have known that was the
Wimbledon.
Right answer.
Wow. Wowzers.
And with that, our final score is Monty Ashley is our winner with 61 points. Ooh. Erica Ensign, 51 points in second. Tony Sindelar, 49 points in third. Tied for fourth are Glenn and Kelly with 43 points. And he couldn't get enough people to invest in his phony scheme. Charles Ponzi, our ghost player, only had 33 points. And that wraps up this edition of Trivial Retreat. We'll probably be back in a few years if our recording isn't lost, or sooner if Stephen Shapansky, producer of the game show, demands episodes and no one else answers the call. Who are you going to call? Apparently me and my wonderful panelists, Monty, Erica, Glenn, Tony, Kelly, and Charles Ponzi. Thanks to you, listener, for listening to Trivial Retreat number 4. Stay tuned for more incomparable game shows about who knows what. Only Stephen Shapansky knows for sure. But until next time, goodbye.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.